We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Here's your host, Todd McKim.
Hi, everybody. Todd McKim, and welcome to another edition of Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. A lot of basketball to talk about. The men at home this week against UCLA on Wednesday. Then USC comes in on Saturday evening. The women on the road to Southern California. And a little bit later on in the program, we'll talk about women's swimming with Katie McLaughlin, who is going to appear in the World Championships next year. Of course, that'll be after she concludes her final season here with the Bears in the 100 free, and she's also a butterfly stroke specialist as well in the 1 and 200, so we'll talk to her a little bit later. But joining me now is a young man who has joined the program last year and a half or 2 years or so, a young man who's getting a little more run right now than earlier in this season. And Jacob Orender is joining us. And Jacob, thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it. You're also the Scholar Athlete of the Week, so congratulations on that award. But let's start with the fact that you're getting a little more run in at both Oregon and against Oregon State. How was that for you?
It was an incredible experience. All season, I just try to work as hard as I can. Hopefully, my number got called, and it did. So it was really cool to be out there with my teammates.
And, of course, you transferred from Lafayette. Originally, you're from Jacksonville, Florida. So I want to talk about your parents a little bit before we get into your background as far as basketball is concerned. And you've got – I saw Jim Knowlton earlier today. He said Jacob's parents are kind of the power couple, so to speak. Your mom, obviously, was an All-American in basketball, played in the original Women's Basketball League for a couple of seasons, and then got into the business world, was the president of the WNBA. Your dad into the golf world. I think he just received recently or somewhere in the last year or so the Legends Award from the PGA. So, I mean, obviously sports has been a big part of your family. Talk about your mom, first of all, with her connection with the WNBA.
My mom, she's been a great role model, influence my whole life. She got the WNBA job when I was in elementary school. Okay. So I couldn't really grasp the significance of it until later on. But we actually moved to New York to be with her for a couple of years, my twin and I. And it was so cool. I mean, going to her office, it was right next under the NBA headquarters. So, you know, you see David Stern, you get to, you know, go to Liberty games, Knick games. And it was a really cool experience. Yeah.
Was there a point in time where she was taking you out in the backyard, in the back hoop there, and teaching you the fundamentals?
Oh, absolutely. She, we used to play one-on-one with her, and she taught us how to shoot. She used to drive us to, she'd play in the all-men rec leagues growing up. And she's really competitive, so she never let us win, but I guess that's a good thing, you know.
Yeah. And then you got a twin brother, Zach. Where's he at these days?
He goes Tulane. Okay. He's an English and Media Studies major. Okay. And, so he's doing great there.
And you've got two sisters, one of which I think is a recording artist, Colleen out of Nashville. What type of music does she create?
She's out of Nashville. She does mostly blues-type music. She just released a holiday song over the season, which was done really well. She's really talented. She sings country, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, in Nashville, you kind of have to do the country and go to the Grand Ole Opry, I guess. And then you have one more sister. What's she doing?
Mm-hmm. Sister-in-law. Her name's Sam. She's married to my brother, Morgan. They're both in Jacksonville, and they have three little boys from my nephews. And they're amazing. She's actually a lawyer.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was pretty cool. And then my brother is a public defender, and they're based out of Jacksonville.
So you're an uncle three times over. That's pretty cool at the age of, 20, 21 years old? That's pretty cool. And then your dad, into the golf world, he's been with the PGA in some capacity for years and years and years. I saw a picture of him with one of my childhood heroes, Arnold Palmer, from Latrobe, Pennsylvania. So I imagine you spent some time in the links, too.
Yes, absolutely. there is definitely some competitiveness between my parents as which sport I would pick up. But my dad had me out in the range growing up almost every day, working on short game, putting. We actually putt all the time in our backyard. And he was amazing. I mean, his touch, he was really talented. So it was cool learning from him.
And then was he the president of the PGA at one point in time? Was he?
Yes, he was the president of the PGA. I want to say 2002 to 2004. It's like a two-year term. And that was also an amazing experience. Again, we were really young, before we can really appreciate it. But we got to go all over to Pebble Beach. We went to the Masters, TPC, which is in Jacksonville every year. So growing up, seeing those events, it was really cool.
Tell us a story or two about rubbing elbows with maybe some of the greats in the world of golf.
Over the course, especially over TPC, our parents would have a big, dinner. And a given night, Vijay Singh would be at our house, Phil Mickelson, Jim Furyk. There's pictures of me little with Tiger. I wish I remembered because that'd be really cool. Growing up, you play with their kids, all the functions and events, at the PGA Championship. So it was a pretty cool experience.
Yeah, we used to go to way back when, back in the 60s, it was called the American Classic at Firestone Country Club, one of the historic golf courses in this country, too. And then also they had the World Series of Golf there as well. So I can remember my brother, I don't want to say he had a run-in with Arnold Palmer, but Arnold was on a green, he was lining up a putt, and then he got ready to putt. And my brother's just a little tyke, he's like 8 years old, and he can't see amongst the crowd, so he's moving, bobbing, and weaving, trying to get a line of sight, and Arnold Palmer backs away from his putt, and he said, "Will you keep still over there?" So that was our brush with greatness, so to speak. I assume you play golf when you can. What's the handicap?
Right now, it's pretty high. I haven't gone out.
What's the lowest you've been?
The lowest I've been, I'd probably say, would be in high school when I was playing more consistently. And I think the low 90s is probably the best I've shot. But since then, I mean, my consistency, one time I hit it down the fairway, the next that thing would go two fairways over. So
you're in the fairway, just the wrong fairway. I know that feeling, that's for sure. All right, let's talk about your journey to Cal. You had a really good high school career, two-time captain of your high school team. And then tell us about the recruiting and maybe some of the schools you were thinking about on your first four-way into the college basketball arena.
Yeah, absolutely. So I didn't realize I really was serious about playing collegiate basketball in my junior year. Mm-hmm. I realized I'm pretty good at this sport. So I fully dove in. I went to a lot of the camps and AAU pro, tournaments and stuff. And I had a lot of attention in the Northeast from mostly academic D3s, D2s, and some D1s, some Ivy Leagues. I went to the Brown camp, got invited to Columbia camp. And I was at the Brown camp. I had a good showing in MIT. Coach Anderson there, he called and said, we want you to come here. And my parents right away, they're like, sorry, that's where you're going. it's MIT. So I committed there, went on a visit. I loved it. But they're the only school, actually, in the country that doesn't guarantee admittance. So even with the letter of recommendation from the coach and everything, and I took the ACT like three times, it wasn't enough. I got waitlisted. So he's really good friends with the coach at Lafayette. Coach O'Hanlon gave him a call and said, you know, we have a point guard. He's really good. You know, he's D1 level. Like, take a look at him. Got in touch with him. Went on a visit. And this was all February, my senior year. So it was pretty last moment. And next thing I knew, I was going to Easton, Pennsylvania. Yeah.
So Lafayette, you were there for a little while and then decided that that wasn't the place to finish things out. What was it about Cal that attracted you?
You know, Lafayette's a great school. I love my teammates there. Still keep in touch with a lot of them. It just wasn't a great fit. It's a small school. So, I signed my letter of release. I was looking around. I never forget. I was walking to my dorm and I get a call. And it's like, Missouri. I'm like, what is this? And it was Coach Coach Guanzo. He's, with this deep voice. Hey, Jacob, we saw your film, blah, blah, blah. Like, how you feel about coming out, checking out Cal? And I was like, absolutely. I mean, academically, you can't beat a school like this. I've never really been to the West Coast prior. I've stayed on the East Coast my whole life. So I figured college is the time to have these experiences where you really spread and learn and network and compete at also the highest level in the Pac-12. So I said, absolutely. And I went, saw the South Dakota State game, okay. The first home game of the season. And, Jabari Berry, Grant Mullins, Ivan, we blew them out. And from there, I was like, yeah, I gotta come here.
Yeah, Grant, of course, transferred from Columbia, fifth-year guy, a great three-point shooter, really helped the Bears out that one season he was able to play for us. Mm-hmm. And then you get on campus. Obviously, I mean, you had been in New York City, so you kind of get the big city vibe. Berkeley's has a lot of similarities, but it's quite different in some regards, too, isn't it?
Yes, certainly. It's very, very different. San Francisco is one of the coolest cities. I love going there when I can. I'd say Berkeley is really unique, especially coming from a place like Jacksonville. Culturally, in terms of diversity, it's so much bigger, and I've really grown to love that. I've learned so much from people and from different cultures and backgrounds that I've grown to appreciate a lot.
The Bears made an appearance in Jacksonville. It's almost a decade ago now. Mike Montgomery was the coach and really put it on Louisville. Joan Randle, I remember, hit a half-court shot, and Rick Pitino was going ballistic on the sideline. And then, unfortunately, we had to run it to Duke. And, of course, they handled us pretty well and went on to win the national championship. But that's our Jacksonville connection there. All right, you're at Cal. Basketball is important, but academics is as well. Tell us about the academics, what you're studying right now, what some of the classes are.
Yeah, absolutely. Currently, I'm an EEP major, which is Environmental Economics and Policy. This is my senior year academically, so I'm taking mostly upper division courses. Two of them right now I find really interesting is econometrics, which I just got out of, which is really applicable to today's, societies, comparing variables and, how does, say, the rising gas prices affect the use of, cars, things like that, which is really interesting. The other one is water resource economics, which is something I never even thought about. You turn on your water faucet, you turn on your shower, you don't really think, where does water come from, how is it sourced, how is it, valued as a commodity, things like that. So that's also really interesting.
Battery's running, might be running a little short. I want to ask you, pick this up, 3, 2, 1. I also understand you're interested, you've got a collection of shark teeth. Did I see that somewhere?
Yeah, ever since I was little, like 2, 3 years old, every Sunday my mom and I, and my grandma before, she's not as mobile anymore, we'd walk on the beach, and in Jacksonville Beach there's just a line of shells, and we just walk in, and that's something we look for. We have jars of them in my mom's bathroom, and even to this day I still go, even by myself. It's a great way to just kind of be on your own, or with someone, you talk. And it's challenging too, to try and find them out of the array of other shells. So it's pretty cool.
Well, you could go into business, could have little necklaces and bracelets, yeah, and all that kind of stuff, right?
We actually thought about it. My brother, my twin and I, we tried, but we couldn't master drilling a hole. There's a couple broken teeth in our garage from us trying to do it to make a necklace or something. So
it's quick business. We'll figure out some way to do that at some point in time. That'll be your first business venture. Well, this week, hopefully the Bears can take a bite out of the Bruins and the Trojans and get on the board in conference play. Jacob, we appreciate your time. Good luck, and congratulations so far on what you've done, and look forward to watching you in the future.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Joining me now on Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, is one of our favorites just because we love how she plays. She plays so hard. She plays for 3.5 years at Cal, has just been a star from the very beginning. A local product, Bishop O'Dowd High School. And so Asia Thomas joining us now. And first of all, we had a podcast with Paris Austin a couple of weeks ago. And of course, we talked about Ivan Rabb. But I mean, the three of you, kind of the three-headed group, the trio, coming from Bishop O'Dowd High School. First of all, what's Ivan up to these days? I know he had a birthday last week, and he's getting some playing time too.
Yeah, he's balling right now in the NBA. And he's getting his shine. He's getting his opportunity, and he's taking full advantage of it. And I try to catch some games when I can, but we stay connected as much as we can when we're not busy of our own. But yeah, he's doing his thing out there.
Yeah, it's good to see and finally getting an opportunity as Memphis kind of retools their roster a little bit, trading Casal last week to Toronto. So he's getting more time, which is all he really needed to do. And Paris is getting a lot of time too. He's leading the Bears in assists, one of the best in the conference in assists. I mean, when you get a chance to watch some games on TV, because you don't get to see each other very often as far as games are concerned, you got to be happy for what he's doing too.
Yeah, he's in one of the leading roles that I've always seen him be in, and he's doing his job. He's doing what the coach wants him to. And just really just trying to find and understand what the Pac-12 conference is like. And it's tough. It really is tough. Just trying to be a really supportive friend, sister on this side. And just really understanding that this is his time to do what he needs to do.
Yeah, it's good to see him get his chance here at Cal. Let's talk about your past weekend. You became the all-time leading three-point shooter in Cal history. That has to make you proud. I know you're disappointed the team didn't win the two games, but let's just talk about breaking Alexis Gray Lawson's record. Now, when I watched her play, she was a scorer as much as anything else. I mean, she could score from anywhere, but the three-point shot was part of her arsenal. You must remember watching her, when you were growing up and getting the high school run.
Yeah, she was physical.
Yeah,
she was real physical, and just fast. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, of course, as being a point guard, those are just a few skills that you should have. But she was really dynamic, high IQ. But when it came to just crunch time and really owning the floor, she did that. And that's one thing. That's just one of the few things that I admire about her. And I didn't know until I got here that she held the three-point record in history. So just being a part of that, now leading it, is something special. I really don't think it's hit me as much. And people have congratulated me saying this is a big deal. And I'm like, okay, yeah. But I think later on I'll appreciate it a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, you think about the local products that have come here to Cal. You had Alexi, and then the next guard was Brittany Boyd, who you probably saw more of because she's a little closer in age to you in the WNBA. She was completely different than the two of you, Alexi and yourself, because she was more of a defensive player, a penetrator. But she had, I mean, obviously a phenomenal career, and again, in the WNBA.
Right, very assertive.
Yeah, very.
In everything that she did. So I took some things from her. I watched a lot of her, like you said, just being closer in age and just being more connected with her. And she's phenomenal. It just shows that people couldn't stop her. She asserted her will whenever she wanted to and just made her team a lot better.
She was dynamic. When I think of her, she was dynamic. Just had a way at both ends of the court of changing the game, whether it's getting a steal, an assist, or making a big bucket. Speaking of big buckets, you had one a couple of weeks ago at Stanford, right here at Haas Pavilion, with virtually no time on the clock. You drove into the lane and banged one down that bounced to 4, 5, 6 times and went through and beat Stanford. I mean, is that one sunk in yet?
Every time that I watch it, I just think it's unreal. But definitely driving to that basket, I'd had no fear. Mm-hmm. Whether it went in or not, I'd had no fear of just going up and trying to make a play that we needed. But like I said, every time I watch it, I'm still in awe. But I'll take it. I'll take it. We needed that win.
No question about it. And at that point in time, you had beaten Stanford twice in a row, which hadn't happened in like forever. So that was great. The other thing about that, and it just shows your toughness, your ability, your perseverance, is that that was your only basket of the game. You had just hit a couple of free throws. So you were sitting on a bagel there for about 38 minutes, and you go to the free throw line. And we always talk about the fact that sometimes You just need to see the ball go through the basket at the free throw line, and maybe that gets you going. So how important was it for you to knock down those two free throws to kind of get you off the schneid?
Even before that, I had to get that rebound.
Yeah, that's right.
And get the call. So regardless if I don't see the ball going in, I have to do other things for my team. And rebounding is something I'm picking up even more, even for my height. Just the willingness to go after and get the ball, you know, and own it. But, yes, of course, seeing the ball go in, it makes us, you know, as players, it makes us, it gives us a little bit more confidence mm-hmm. to do what we need to do. But, yeah, when I come to the free throw line, I just think of it's clutch time. That's what I, that's one of my strengths. That's what I do well at. And just another opportunity to put our team in the best position.
You led the league in free throw shooting last year, over 80%. You were 79% plus in league play, and you were good the year before. You've always been a shooter. I mean, is that something that well, – when you first came to Cal, you handled a ball a little bit more than maybe you do now with Kiana and Caldwell. You're more maybe in that shooter's role. But when you first got here, you handled the ball a lot. Tell us about now maybe not having the rock in your hand as much and being ready to be a shooter when you get it.
I don't think it's any different necessarily because just who the player that I am. Like I said, I have other things to do, but being in a shooter's, I would say, position right now, it's just really understanding the game a little bit more, mm-hmm. having a flow to yourself, and just knowing there's different ways to get the ball, mm-hmm. not just having the ball in your hand the whole time. And it's helping me a little bit more to be patient. But then also trying to assert my will when I need to for my team. And I think I'm still learning that right now, being a senior and then going on from that. But I think it allows me to be aggressive, mm-hmm. to come in clutch moments, to realize that when I get the ball in my hands, it's not just shooting, but it's trying to make a play for myself and my team.
All right, this week, well, you've just finished a real gauntlet. I mean, when I look back at your season here so far, you've played five games against teams that at one time or another have been in the top 10, including UConn, non-conference. You had Stanford twice. You had Oregon, and you've had Oregon State. And all of those teams have been in the top 10, two of which have been in the top three. Oregon is up there this time of the year. UConn, of course. Just talk about this gauntlet that this team has had to go through this year.
Big challenges. But I don't think we're shying away from it at all. You see, we've competed in games with them close. The score was close, and you could just see a battle. And unfortunately, we're just not able to close out those type of games that we wish we could. But I think that's just a step for us. Of course, we want to get those. That's just the next step for us, and we need to find out and figure out how to get those games that we need, and we feel like we can battle.
Six more in the regular season, and it doesn't get really any easier this week as you head down to face USC and UCLA over the weekend, the first time around. The Bruins kind of stole one here at Haas. They got a big rebound late, put back overtime. They win the ball game. You took care of USC. So this is a really big road trip coming in this weekend, isn't it?
Right, really big. They're great teams, just like any other team in the Pac-12. But these two teams are, you know, I would say another rivalry for mm-hmm. us, a road rivalry for us. And we need these two wins. They're aggressive. They assert their will, and we need to take advantage of that. We need to show them we're here for a reason. We need to stay in this game every game, all 40 minutes, and just really assert our will and try to take what we need to take.
Yeah, so the Bears on the road this week, home against the Arizona schools, finish at the Washington schools, and then the Pac-12 tournament in Las Vegas. I mean, that's a little different. They've moved this tournament around a couple of times. At one time, it was at USC. I remember going down and watching a couple of those games where I really could hear a pin drop. And then it went to Washington, where you had the great environment at Key Arena, because Seattle's really a good women's basketball town and was a great NBA city as well. But what are your thoughts about going to Vegas this year and getting a chance to make a run there?
I think it's different. But at least this team has played in Vegas, maybe not in the same arena that we may play in. But we're used to the Vegas vibe okay. a little bit, so I think we'll be fine. But just having a different scenery for, you know, my last Pac-12 tournament mm-hmm. is very different. And I think it's closer to home mm-hmm. as far as for us. So hopefully Pac-12, more fans can come. Mm-hmm. So I think it will be exciting, just a different scenery. And it's Vegas. People want to come to Vegas, so why not have one of the best conferences here play their games and women's conferences and really just show who wants it more and battle for that championship.
You an Oakland Raiders fan at all? Are you a Raiders fan?
Yeah, I need them to stay in Oakland, but I am.
Yeah, that's going to be tough for a lot of fans here to see him leave once again. What's after basketball? I know you want to play, you know, in the future here, but at some point in time, that basketball ends and you go on to do something else. What's after that?
I'm thinking about going into coaching. At some level. I want to start kind of younger kids. I'm not sure, middle school or high school. And then if that, whether that doesn't work or I'll push that off to later, I want to do something in the media world. Still trying to figure that out. So I'm doing different internships and trying to connect with different people and see where, you know, my passion is or something that I really like.
What do the internships involve?
I've had an internship with NBC where I went to an Oakland A's game and just seeing the media side, the production side of it. So I was in the cable cars and really just understand what it's like, the setup. And even during the game, how are our stories made up? And got to sit in the suite where they do the radio broadcast and all that. So just something that I'm interested in. I don't know if I really want to be in it yet, but it was cool to see the behind the scenes of production.
Well, maybe you and Caldwell can work together. She can work in the front office. You do the TV work. You guys could dominate the whole deal, right?
That's possible. That is possible.
Well, Asia Thomas, the all-time leader in three-point made here at California, and a big weekend as they head down to face USC and UCLA. Appreciate your time for stopping by. I know you got to rush to class, and good luck this week.
Thank you.
Joining me now on Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, is Katie McLaughlin from Dana Point down there in Southern California. As the Bears get ready to face the Stanford Cardinal, the final home and the final dual meet of the season on Saturday starting at noon. So, Katie, first of all, let's just talk about facing Stanford, obviously a really good team. Should be a terrific matchup. Your final crack at the Cardinal in a dual meet.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be a fun meet, and I think our team is really excited going into it, and so there's going to be some good racing down at Speaker this weekend.
There always is. Then it's on to the Pac-12s and then the NCAAs in Austin, Texas, where the Bears once again will be a factor in the team chase, looking for another trophy, hopefully gold. Let's talk about this year, how it's gone for you earlier in the year, and a couple of duels with Arizona State. You were named the Pac-12 Swimmer of the Week. Just give us a synopsis of how the season has gone so far for the Bears.
Yeah, we've had a really good season, and I think as the months keep coming, like February and March, we're going to get even better and better. That's kind of the goal of our team, is just to keep getting better. So I think like being able to start with the Arizonas and just then follow it up the week later with USC and UCLA and have our team be even stronger, I think we're just building really good momentum going into championship season.
Yeah, what do you see as the strengths of this team? Where are the areas where the Bears are really good?
We have really, really strong relays, which is really exciting because those are fun not only to participate in but also to watch and stuff. And we have a lot of people that are the top in their event too, which is really cool. And also, like, we have a good, like, second wave of people that aren't necessarily winning events but are getting their hand on the wall right behind the people that are.
Let's go back to your decision to come to Cal. Terry McKeever actually has a long relationship with your mom because she recruited your mom when Terry was at USC. Terry then left and went to Fresno before she came here. So I guess the McKeevers and the McLaughlins go back a ways, don't they?
Yeah, I guess so. It's kind of exciting and kind of weird, like, also how, like, small the world is, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah. What was your mom's favorite events?
My mom was a sprinter. She did, like, the 50 free, 100 fly.
So kind of like you,
yes.
Like mom, like daughter, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
What is your favorite event as you look at the free and the fly? Do you have a favorite event there?
I don't know if I have a favorite event. It kind of changes a lot. I really like to race backstroke, just like because it's a little bit fun and different. But I also really like 100 fly, and like anything I can do in a relay too is always really fun.
That's always been one of the keys to the Cal program. Terry's always had versatility in the swimmers. It's not like you come in and you just race, you know, the 100 free, or you just come in and you do, you know, the butterfly or the backstroke. Tell us about the versatility in the program.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's really important for all of us to be able to do something like out of our comfort zone a lot of the time. And I think it just makes things like when they go wrong, like you have another route to go into, you know, and not necessarily that I'm going to change to a backstroker, but like in practice, if my freestyle isn't feeling good, I'll just switch to backstroke just to mix it up. And there are still ways to get better doing your off strokes. And Terry does a really good job of like finding different ways for each of us to get better and different avenues than just swimming butterfly and freestyle back and forth. So
yeah, Terry's known for, you know, different training methods. To tell us a little bit, in addition to maybe doing some other strokes, some of the different, you know, exercises or training that you do that people at home wouldn't have any idea what happened.
Yeah, we do a lot in the ocean, actually, a lot in the waves, and that's really cool and a lot of fun, especially we just got back from Hawaii a month ago or so, and that's always really fun. And then in the spring, we do a lot of stuff with, like, the 15-meter course, which is really cool, and just, like, to kind of get faster than 25-yard course, it's really cool to just do something different. So
tell us about the transition. There's short course and long course, and tell us what the difference is for you.
For me, I think it's more important for me to have good turns and underwaters and short course, and I'm more comfortable in long course because my turns aren't as good as I would like them to be. They're definitely improving, and I'm like, that's something I'm like excited about, but I think it's like less about getting in the momentum of swimming and more about how you can recycle your energy between the laps rather than just one.
You mentioned Hawaii a couple of years ago. You had an incident over there that kind of set you back a little bit, and during the comeback, obviously that's hard. It takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. But last year at the Nationals, I mean, it all kind of came back together for you. And the reaction of your teammates after you were able to do what you did was incredible. I was just watching a video of your interview after that race as well, and that qualified you for the Worlds coming up in South Korea this summer. Tell us a little bit about that journey back and the exaltation that you had after finally making it all the way back.
Yeah, definitely. That was a really special moment for me, and I think my teammates too. And I think what made it like so special was that like my teammates were all just as excited for me as I was for myself, and they had seen me like in my worst and when I was really like struggling, and also like how like, and they were there with me day in and day out, working hard with me and pushing me and like believing in me. And so it was cool. That was like the best moment. That's how excited my teammates were also, because like, yes, I like had a good race for myself, but I think all of my teammates know that like without them I wouldn't have been able to, and so it was like kind of a win for them as well and the whole program. So
that's kind of the beauty of being involved in a team sport as opposed to some other sports where it's just kind of you, even though you're in an individual event, you know, it's other than the relays, that's kind of the beauty of the team concept, I think. So now you get a chance to go to the World Championships and then hopefully a shot at the 2020 Olympics. You had an opportunity in 2016 and didn't make it, but that's only two people who make it per event. That's pretty ridiculous. Tell us what it's like to get on the starting blocks knowing that it's like one and done, okay? In golf, you get four rounds. In swimming, you get one race. What is that feeling like when you're on the blocks getting ready to go, knowing that this is kind of what I've trained for so long?
Yeah, that's definitely something that's hard, and I think it's something like I've had to grow into being able to handle as an athlete, especially like the past 4 years. And I think it's just turning your nerves into excitement and energy and remembering what you can control and staying in your own lane and swimming your own race and knowing that you can't control the people next to you and that it is about place and time, but all you can put forward is your best and not necessarily how anyone else races. So I think that's just kind of what it is about for me, at least, just being excited and no matter what happens, knowing that I did my best, even if other people beat me or whatever. So
you're in the pool and you do turn, you turn and you can see some people, but you don't usually turn and see the other people as well. I mean, well, what's going through your mind? Let's just say the 200 butterfly, which is a little bit longer.
Yeah, I think especially in a 200 fly, it's really about like swimming my own race, because some people take it out really fast, some take it out slow, and it's just about not seeing other people and not letting that affect what you're doing, because everyone is different and everyone needs to swim the race differently. So just about staying in your own lane and swimming your own thing while keeping in mind what other people are doing, because obviously you don't want to be in your own world, but like, you know, just having confidence in where you are and what you need to be in at the end when everyone's kind of in the same little plane or line, just getting your head down and getting to the wall.
Do the coaches give you a scouting report? I know in basketball they have a shoot-around. They go through a scouting report. Here's what people like to do. They do the same thing in swimming, say, hey, this person's going to go out fast or this person's got the big kick. I mean, do you get that?
I think since the swimming world is pretty small, you kind of know what people are going to do. So the coaches don't really tell you too much. But you can kind of, like, you race the same people a lot of the time, so you kind of know how they're going to go about doing them.
All right, we've got the 2020 Olympics coming up. And we've seen this in women's swimming. It used to be if you were in your early 20s, you were pretty much done. But we've seen it where a lot of swimmers are into their 30s, and Natalie did, you know, she swam for a long time. How about you? How long do you want to go?
I don't know. That is a good question, to be honest. I think I don't necessarily have a time of how long I want to go, more so just, like, as long as I'm still enjoying swimming and wanting to get better and feeling like it's fun, then I'll keep going. So I don't really want to set a time to be done or not done. So
when it is done, what would you like to do after that?
That is a good question also.
I had two good ones today.
I think I have thought about being like a teacher, but I also have thought about being like an event planner, or also I really like spin. So maybe like being a spin instructor for a little bit. I don't really know. We will see how it goes. Maybe go back to school. We don't know. We'll see.
It's open-ended. There's nothing wrong with that. The path is not set. It's a variable. But we do know that the path this week runs right into Stanford. Noon on Saturday, the Bears against the Cardinal at Speaker Aquatic Center. Ought to be a terrific meet, one of the best meets in the country this year. And, Katie, we appreciate you stopping by, and good luck this week.
Yeah, thank you. Go Bears.
This has been Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, with your host, Todd McKim. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.